Good morning. I'm Gyo Shi, and as Assistant Goto, I'll be speaking on behalf of the Dharma Council and kind of acting as MC for this Sangha Forum. Spring Sangha Forum is traditionally the main opportunity for the Dharma Council to communicate with the whole Sangha. So I'll lead off with what we'd like to share with you. And then after my presentation, we'll hear from the board, and then you'll hear about the status of our DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion process. We'll talk to you for about 25 to 30 minutes, and then it'll be your turn for the, you know, what I consider the most important part of this Sangha Forum, which is your questions and comments and suggestions. So I'd like to start by naming the other members of the Dharma Council, Kengan, Henji, Fujaku, Sokichu, Daiko, Gabe, and Eiko. Some of you may not know what the Dharma Council does. We have primary responsibility for the teaching side of the temple, but we share many of these responsibilities with a few other groups, including the Dharma Rain Active Transmitted Teachers, known by the acronym DRAT, the temple officers, the staff, and the disciples group. And these overlapping responsibilities have been both a challenge and, I'd say, a blessing in our learning how to work together and support each other. So there's also an acronym for this collaboration, and that's ORATS, which stands for Overlapping Responsibilities Among the Teaching Side. So when I'm speaking about Dharma Council this morning, that really includes these other groups, and actually all of you who together make the teaching side of the temple work. Dharma Council also pays particular attention to strategic planning for the future function and evolution of the temple, and we do this in coordination with the board. The board has a similar level of responsibility to the Dharma Council, but for the operations side of the temple, and especially for issues having to do with financial or legal implications. To give you some sense of what we actually do, I'm going to speak to a few of the highlights of what the Dharma Council and others on the teaching side have been involved with over this past year. We tried to resurrect the spring term student program last year. This would have consists of 3 one-day retreats focused on Dharma expression. Unfortunately, it was canceled because of inadequate signups, but this year we tried again. With a little more explanation and publicity, and sign up is more than enough to make it happen. And the program is in progress now online. We've designated individual Dharma Council members to serve as liaisons to various groups, including the affiliated groups outside of Dharma Rain. These would include the Sandhi Sangha, Wai'is, Bright Way Sangha, out in Beaverton, and Sato Sangha down in Eugene, Zen West. We also have liaisons to the numerous teams that make up the teaching side of the temple, to the Strategic Plan Monitoring Committee, and to the group that's responsible for developing our diversity, equity, inclusion efforts. We've worked together with the board to clarify the criteria and process for initiating special events, such as workshops. And our goals for this were to make the process more transparent and more easily organized from inception to execution. We recognize this as a responsibility that we share with the board, who are responsible for the financial and liability aspects, and with Dharma Rain staff. And I think we've successfully navigated this together, this joint stewardship, a number of times over the past year. Now I'd like to say just a little bit about the temple calendar, mostly reminding you of ways to access it. Fujaku is the Dharma Council member who is responsible for maintaining the calendar and coordinating event arrangements. As mentioned in the mailing that you received on Friday, there are several ways for you to stay informed about Dharma Rain events. One is the weekly email bulletin that you get usually on Thursday or Friday. For a longer view, go to the calendar page of the website. You hit the schedule button at the top of the website, and then go to the calendar page on that. And for an even longer view, go to the liturgical calendar page, also under the schedule button. If you need help with accessing any of that, contact our Marine staff. I want to mention a few new or non-standard calendar events for 2020. And all of these are subject to some modification by COVID-19. Florence Kaplow, the co-editor of the wonderful book, The Hidden Lamp, will lead a 1.5-day workshop on the book in late July. Some of you will remember the workshop taught by the other co-editor, Sue Moon, last summer. The book is a collection of 100 koans or stories about women Buddhist teachers going back 2,500 years. Each story is accompanied by a commentary by a current woman teacher, a contemporary, and included in these are our own teachers, Gyokko and Chiko, as well as Chosen Bays out in Great Thap Monastery. And I want to say last year there was only one man who attended, and that was me. I'm hoping this year there will be many more, because this is equally applicable to men. You'll find a lot to learn in this. There will also be a Mountains and Waters backpacking session in early September. COVID and forest fires willing. And this will be a 3-day backpack into the Indian Heaven Wilderness near Mount Adams. The hiking part will be largely on abandoned trails, and physical effort will be moderate. And it's a true session. We'll be mostly in silence with a lot of zazen, both sitting and walking. And a lot of it will be untimed. We're limited by the Forest Service to 12 people to participate in this, and information and registration should be online on the website sometime in the next month. We're also bringing back the Three Robes Retreat in mid-September after a very successful one last year. Last year's was the first time in about 10 years that we held this retreat. Three Robes is a more open form session than most of what we do here. And it's designed to make session accessible, yet challenging for people at every level of session experience. Though the Zazen time periods are very long, sometimes several hours, they're less defined. There are no bells during those long Zazen periods. So you decide when you change position. Sitting, standing, walking, reclining. For example, you might be sitting for 20 minutes or 50 minutes and decide to get up and do kinhin for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, and then do reclining meditation. There were times at last year's session that the zendo was almost empty, and participants were outside meditating on benches in the garden or doing fast or slow kinhin around the engawa and so forth. And I would say the feedback at the end was overwhelmingly positive, that most participants loved the expansiveness, freedom, and self-responsibility of this forum. The Dharma Council invites you at any time to email us with any questions or concerns you have, or let us know that you'd like to come to one of our meetings to present those in person, or virtually for the time being. So now I'm going to turn it over to Chiko to tell you about a new class series that starts soon.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Good. Sorry, we have real bandwidth problems here, so I'm trying not to use video. But I'm only going to talk for a few minutes about a new program we're starting. We really feel like there's been a lack of deep sutra study available to everybody. And Dharma study is really the core of what we're doing here. So we're going to start offering a monthly program that will go between the teachers, open to everybody in the Sangha to study sutras. And it'll be different from month to month. We were going to start in April, but we're putting it off till May. And I will start then with a short sutra called the Tathagata Garbha Sutra. And you don't have to read it ahead of time. You don't have to know anything about sutras. We'll just spend 90 minutes together talking about this particular sutra. I'll hope to send out a link to the material ahead of time. And then the next month, let's see, in June, Jyoshin's going to talk about the Surangama Sutra. In July, Genko's going to examine the Enmei, Juku, Kanon, Gyo, and so on. We'll look at various sutras from month to month. In a couple of cases, there might be 2 months in a row on the same sutra. But again, you don't have to be an advanced student. You don't have to know the material in advance. We just want this to be really a free Dharma offering for the whole Sangha to really focus on our core material of sutra. Yeah, you can ask questions now, or should we just hold questions till the end? Oh, and it's going to be Sunday afternoons after, it'll be the fourth Sunday of the month after lunch.
Okay, super. Yeah, we'll do all questions at the end of all the presentations.
Okay, good.
And now Kakumio will tell you some, or I'm sorry, actually it will be Kakuan, I believe, who's going to lead off with telling you about what the board has been up to.
Hello, yes. So I have recently assumed the role of board chair. It's been some transition in the board makeup over the last several months, so we have a lot of new members right now. And the primary focus of the board the last several months has been, feels like LLC work and responding to the emerging material responses needed because of COVID-19. So things that we've noticed from a membership perspective emerging from COVID-19 are the Zoom offerings have attracted different people than would necessarily be attending in person. And that's something that we would like to look at in the future. Temple closure and responding skillfully to the needs of residents and the needs of the Sangha as what we're able to offer week over week and month over month. It feels like it took up a lot of time in the last several months. It feels like we're kind of in a more stable place about that currently. So I'm interested to see what we'll be able to discuss moving forward. And I believe that Zonio, who is now our board treasurer, has a more detailed financial picture to discuss, and Melissa Robertson has some kind of short thing about where we are with the LLC and with negotiations about that moving forward. Is there anything I'm missing, Kay? I'm sorry, I just jumped in from Dharma school, so I'm
No, I think that's all accurate.
Great, that's good. I'm on hour 1.1 of being on Zoom, so I'm getting a little toasty.
Hi, folks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I am, as Kakuan mentioned, the newly appointed treasurer of the board, and I'm going to give you just a brief update on Dharma Ring finances. I'm going to keep it pretty short today. As Kakuan mentioned, I think the big focus that everyone's been thinking about and aware of is the immediate financial impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And fortunately, we can share that the financial impact is something that we're managing, and you know, things are actually looking pretty good. We were able to apply for, and we expect to receive federal relief via the CARES Act. So that's wonderful news. It allows us to really offset the revenue loss that we were projecting for Frog Song programs and other programs, and to really keep taking care of our staff. So we're really happy about that, and it looks like, you know, we're going to make it through this. It's also been a good year from what I hear. We've had some increase in membership, which is offsetting, you know, a little bit of a drop that we're seeing as folks in the Sangha are impacted during the pandemic. So fortunately, we've had a pretty good year in terms of rise in membership. We also have pretty good liquidity right now. We have about $100,000 cash in the bank, So that stacks up pretty well in terms of a benchmark for other nonprofits in terms of our ability to weather things like this and maintain operations and all of that good stuff. So it's been a pretty good year. A couple things that we're looking out for and keeping our eye on, of course, is the broader economic situation. Nonprofits are pretty vulnerable in an economic downturn. So, we're just going to keep monitoring that. We have our fundraiser coming up in August, from what I understand. And it's hard to say exactly what that's going to look like right now, but we'll have more information coming out about that, and that's going to be really important for us. And then lastly, the other situation that we're monitoring is our debt. We have, as I understand it, about $1 million in low interest loan that we're paying back to Sangha members via the Assemble loan. And that is, we'll need to refinance in about a year, as I understand it. And then the other portion of our debt is the Siskiyou co-housing debt. So that's kind of a high-level overview, big picture. We're doing pretty well. We're going to keep monitoring the next couple months. And I think that's what I've got. Do other board members who have been in this a little longer want to add anything to that?
Okay. And Kakwan, did you say there was another board member who wanted to?
Oh.
Okay, we're done? Okay. So now we'll move on to diversity, equity, inclusion, and Kakumo will start that piece.
Yeah. So just to kind of introduce the topic, this is something that has been in the works for several years, 3 or 4 years. In a kind of active way, and both the board and the Dharma Council saw a need for that equity work is an important part of Dharmic practice, and we want to develop this learning and capacity in the Sangha. And so one of the things which has happened is a committee was formed to sort of pilot that. And so that group has been working together for a year-ish, not quite, almost. And what they are charged with is sort of planning and coordinating ongoing and future initiatives in the Sangha that relate to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And right now, so some of the things which, I'll leave the rest of that for Lena, but she'll speak a little bit more about how that committee is functioning.
Lena?
Thank you, Kakumyo. Can everyone hear me okay? Apologize in advance if there's any screaming downstairs. I promise it's just my kids and not an emergency. So as Kakumyo said, this fledgling committee has been meeting really in earnest since the fall. It consists of myself as our kind of committee meeting facilitator, Muchaku Sokuchu, who is our Dharma Council liaison and our communications person. So any major future kind of announcements or initiatives, communications out to the Sangha usually will come from Sokuchu. Koin is our coordinator. So if you are wanting to get involved, if you have questions, she is kind of our point person. And you can reach out to any of us, but Koin is kind of designated in that role as the first point of contact for folks. And then rounding out our committee are Zana and Zuiruyu from the board. I want to mention that Minshu and Kakumyo both were involved early on in our committee efforts and helping get things going, and we appreciate both of their contributions to our conversation. I'm mostly here today just to kind of put a face to the committee and to voice again that we are a truly open and inclusive group. We are excited to be delving into this work here at Dharma Rain. We want and need diverse voices and perspectives, and we welcome that. So if you are excited, if you're concerned, if you have reservations, if you're not sure, any of those and in between, we want to hear from you and look forward to that. We have been in the past year, since the fall, doing the Awakening to Whiteness group, which has had a lot of great feedback, and we're looking forward to continuing learning opportunities like that in the future. So keep your ears open for more updates on how to get involved and other efforts, and feel free to be in touch with us if you have any questions. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I think we are done with the presentations, which I'm amazed by. Usually we run over and shortchange you with your chance to ask us questions or give us comments. We have ample time for that today. A thing about format. So if you have a question, we ask you to do two things. First, go to the bottom of your screen, cursor down to the bottom of your screen, and hit up the chat button, and send a chat to the host saying question, just that, question. Don't write your question there. And then the second thing is when you do that, the host will have kind of a list in order of who's raising their hand to ask a question. Then the other piece is, I believe it's under the participants button. There should be a button within that screen, the participant screen, that says raise hand. I'm getting a funny face from Pujaku. Okay, so you'll just call on a person and, okay, so Pujaku will call on you in order after seeing that you have a question on the chat button. And when he calls on you, he will unmute you. And then if you can remember to mute yourself again once you're done with your question, if not, Pujaku would probably mute you again. So we will open it to questions. I should say a couple other things. NG will be taking notes for this portion. NG is the secretary of the Dharma Council. And that way, if your comment needs some follow-up by us, we'll have a record of it. And also, if you could keep your comments and questions as concise as possible so that everybody has a chance to chime in here. We sent out on Friday a letter that included several questions that Dharma Council specifically has for you. And I'll read those questions to you. You're certainly not limited to addressing these questions, but we would welcome feedback on these issues. So the first one is that we would like to hear from you whether the courses, Dharma talks, workshops, retreats, etc., have been meeting your interests and needs, and if you have any suggestions for improving these offerings. Second question, are you satisfied with Dharma Rain's response to COVID-19? Do you have any specific suggestions around that? Then, how do you feel about Dharma Rain's engagement with questions of diversity, equity, and inclusion? And in what ways do you see this process as either an extension of Dharma or a distraction from it? And what suggestions do you have concerning it? And then the last question we have for you is, to what extent are Dharma job offerings or opportunities, volunteer opportunities at Dharma Rain accessible to you? And if you're not feeling comfortable with accessing these opportunities, what would make you feel more comfortable? So I'm opening it to questions now. I'm sorry?
There's five. Okay, Roberta, you're up.
I cannot see this.
It's okay. No, she'll speak. Is she unmuted?
Her question was basically, how do you get a hold of PEI? And Nina is now looking for a panel.
Okay. So the question was, how do you get hold of the people working on DEI? And the answer, actually, Lena, do you have the answer? Okay, an email will be set up for you to get hold of.
You're up, Genko.
Genko?
Okay, there we go. So my first question has to do, I have a couple of comments as well, is that, but my question that came up during this presentation was about membership. I've seen a couple of emails to the staff that suggest that people are canceling their membership because they can no longer pay their pledge. And what I'm wondering, and this may be more of a board question, but it seems like a pertinent question in terms of how we're dealing with COVID-19, is whether we are able to offer complimentary memberships, at least for a period of time, under those circumstances where people still want to be involved with Dharma Rain, but for reasons beyond their control, they simply can't do that. So that's my question.
Yep, and I can answer that. We've had a handful of people need to stop their membership pledge, you know, because of the current economic situation, and we've just continued their membership, you know, for the time being. So we can do that for now. We'll see how long this lasts, but most people are continuing their pledge as normal.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Did you say you had another question also?
It seemed like I had a couple more comments of things that went on. So, for example, until we get the DEI email box set up, you can always send an email to staff at dharma-rain.org for any of these kinds of questions, and things can get forwarded to the appropriate people. And the other thing, I don't know if this is absolutely official yet, but Fujaku and I have added back to the calendar introductory workshops, which we're going to do by Zoom. So that the first one of those, the introduction to Zen meditation, will be April 30th. So we're going to be, you know, working on those as well. We've kind of had to cancel them, and then now we're going to put those back onto the calendar, just to let you know that.
Okay, super. Okay.
I just have a quick question. I am curious about who the current members of the board are now. They weren't introduced earlier.
Yes. Okay, so Kakuan is the chair. I'm on the board. Melissa Robertson is on the board. Zui Ryu is on the board. Geman is on the board. Zonio is our new treasurer. And help me out, board members.
Carrie Robertson is still on the board, as far as I know.
I think that's where we are right now.
And she's the board secretary. And I don't know if she's still in Dharma School.
Carrie, she's over with Dharma School right now.
Got it.
And Kakumiya, this is Anand. I believe I'm still on, unless
you're on the board too. Yes. Thank you.
Just checking.
Yeah.
As assistant Kanan, right.
Who was that?
That's Anand. Yes.
Chris has a question.
Chris? Hi, I think Gabe was first before me. But I'll go.
Go for it, Chris. You've got the mic right now.
Well, I had two questions, but I forgot one of them. So I'll just ask the first one, which is, I'm curious what Dharmarain is already doing or has plans to do about supporting and welcoming people of color into our community. Like for me, it was really important to see a lot of women and queer folks come involved. And that's not something that's very obvious when you first walk in. I mean, the people of color. So I'm curious what's already being done or what plans there are.
Do you want to address or Lena?
Yeah, I kind of feel like if someone from the DEI committee wants to take that might be best. But if not, then I will.
I would just say that for starters, we have a lot of really great ideas of things that we would like to suggest to the Sangha in terms of making ourselves a more welcoming, visibly welcoming place, especially to folks of color. Those ideas, including things like having more teachers of color come to give guest presentations, that kind of thing, aren't official yet, in part because we're still in the process of finishing up our charter, which is kind of our, like, what Sokuchu calls our North Star guiding document that'll help kind of guide how we make decisions about particular initiatives and that kind of thing. So the short answer is we have lots of ideas. We're still working on the framework for how we're going to engage in enacting those ideas. And if anyone has other particular specific ideas that they would like to share with us, we welcome that. For now, because I don't know if Colleen is here or not, I'm happy to give out my email just for people to be in touch with. And that is just wood.lena, wood.lena@gmail.com. I'll put it in the chat as well. And I'll make sure that any of those comments get to the committee. It's a, what I would say in particular, Chris, is that that's more of a long haul project, strategy, plan. And it's going to take a lot of different steps. And I think some of the work that the committee is going to recommend is going to be more internal work in the beginning to really help prepare us from the inside out to be that more welcoming environment. So more to come.
And Chris, do you remember your other question?
No, if I do, I'll just ask, just put it in again.
Okay.
Gabe,
you're up.
So can you say a little bit more about the situation with the Siskiyou co-housing debt?
Sure. That's Julie. So the situation there is that both the board of Dharmarain and the board of Siskiyou Co-Housing are in agreement that it makes sense at this point for Siskiyou Co-Housing to kind of stop trying to develop that property and to sell the lease back to Dharmarain. And for Dharmarain, that makes sense because then we're in sole control of the land. We don't have, we kind of get rid of that liability and from a risk perspective and simplifies things. And then that's something that conceivably Dharmarain could then, you know, it's an asset. So the downside for Dharmarain is that it's going to cost something to buy the lease back. And that would be a way of, you know, writing some of the imbalanced relationship between the LLC and Dharmarain right now. That what has happened in the last several months has been kind of getting to that point and going through some legal process to figure out what that might look like. And so now we have a much better picture of the legal terrain. We're working on valuation, and the goal there is getting to a number that both entities agree on. So we haven't really started those conversations,
That actually kicks off this week in a more formal way.
Thank you.
Yeah, but whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a long-term situation. Yeah.
Okay, Don Crawford.
I guess a suggestion. The beginning, the two beginning workshops seem designed to be one-off events, and it, from my perspective, I would like to focus on those things for longer than 2 hours. That it would be nice if that was a monthly workshop on learning how to meditate, focusing on zazen and that sort of thing, and another one sort of on temple forms and those kinds of things that you could come back to for maybe a year or two. I don't know if that makes any sense, but mm-hmm. those seem like much deeper topics to me than I got time to deal with in an hour and a half. And I don't feel like I could go back to that. I would be an interloper if I walked in on one of those sessions.
A couple of things there, Don. One is we have lots of people take them multiple times, so no worries there. Second, the primary way in which we do the in-depth work is in Sanzen or on Sesshin. So really, Sesshin is like a 7-day version of that. So that's kicking off this week if you want to join in. Lots of time to get more subtle or more depth to your understanding there with Zazen and with forms to some extent, although right now we're doing that a little virtually. What we did last year, I believe, and we'll do again, is a 1-day workshop on form that kind of covers a lot of different forms that we do. It's a little more explanatory. It's not like the primary way we teach form is by doing it and by having it kind of, just be expressed. But we do this workshop sometimes, and it's a 1-day version that has more explanation. It's more didactic. It's more kind of providing some of the background and extra information that might help it integrate a little better. So we don't have that scheduled for the next time, but it will happen at some point. And good to hear that that would be valued by folks out there.
Yeah. I would add there are a couple other offerings that are kind of intended for people who are just starting out in this practice. Taking your seat would be one. Term student retreat, or the term student program is another. I'm probably missing something. What?
There's also practice advisors.
Practice advisors, thank you. Beginner's Day retreats. So there are a number of other opportunities, but I hear what you're saying, and I think, that's something we should consider.
I think it wouldn't be actually, then if you do have people come back, it may be just a slight change in advertising so that, those of us who are thinking, I really would like to, just hang out and listen to people talk about, how they're doing meditation, if that's a place to go, then I would go. But I have tried many of the other things and will continue. Thank you.
Three more.
Hello, this is Ember. I'm sort of hiding off screen, but I have a comment about a retreat meeting my needs. I really, really enjoyed the Mountains and Rivers retreat last year, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. But I have some hesitation because as a backpacker, I'm a 100% beginner. I don't know how to pack a pack. I don't know how to pack for hygiene, or I don't know how to set up camp. I don't know how to eat properly. And the last time I went, it caused a significant amount of I didn't feel that I was able to tap into any sort of dharma because I was afraid. Yeah. So I really, really would love to continue to do mountains and rivers. And I'm wondering if there's something that we could do to help prepare people, or if that's a skill that we just need to develop on our own to be able to access that retreat.
I'll take that. So I'll be leading the retreat, the Mountains and Waters, this September. The registration thing, when it gets online, will address some of this. We're going to be asking you what your experience is. We're not going to say no to anybody, but, I might question somebody, or at least, you know, tell them some facts about the relative degree of rigor and so on. We will have a pre-trip meeting where we're going to be talking about exactly what you asked, how to pack. We'll be giving out backpacking lists. We'll talk about how to be prepared for the weather. And we'll be talking about all the elements of backpacking. That's not going to totally answer what you're asking for, because experience is part of it.
Yeah, I think last year we did that as well, and I was still just, it's not a skill that I have. And so maybe it's just a matter of me trying to figure out some of it more so on my own, as well as continuing to do the retreat with Dharma Rain.
Yeah. The other thing we're thinking of for this September is to also have a pre-trip gear check meeting for people like yourself who are fairly new to it. So it would be basically a dress rehearsal for the retreat. Bring in your pack, and we'll examine everything and make comments about. No, you forgot your jacket.
Yeah, I think that's helpful.
Okay, Chris.
Thanks. I remembered my other question. It's about volunteering. It would be, can you hear me?
It's about what?
Volunteering.
Okay.
It would be, I would like it if there were a place where the current job needs were sort of listed, so you could see what's currently needed. Instead of, like, when I've tried to volunteer in the past, I've had some really nice exchanges with whoever was coordinating it. But if there were, like, a list somewhere that said, we currently need someone to do sewing or cooking on Sundays or whatever it is, that would, I think, speed up part of the process.
Okay. We used to have something like that. I'm not sure if we're currently doing it.
Yeah, it, work in progress by the Mandala Council, trying to have that be a little more visible or accessible.
So Setsu, you're up.
Yeah, so can you hear me?
Yep.
So now that we've done more Dharma offerings online through Zoom, and prior to this time period, we were doing things in person. I'm just curious about Dharma Council's intention of blending, possibly when we get to the new normal, so that people who actually benefited from this online format might still be able to participate along with those who are physically present.
Yeah, that's a conversation that's come up in Dharma Council. I think we're recognizing that rather than just this being a temporary crutch, there are some advantages to this, certainly for people who are very remote. So I think it's something that's in our mind. We don't have plans yet because we're not to that post-virtual point yet. But I think it is in our minds.
Luna?
Hi. When I first, there we go. When I first came to Dharmarin, in a more intense way last summer, I was doing a lot of the morning practice, and that's having the container for practice has been throughout the years that I've been at various centers, been kind of one of the more important aspects of it. But then I started up and I'm no longer able to do the morning practice, and there's only one day a week that you can do evening practice, and I was wondering if it has ever been considered to do more evening practice offerings for people who work.
Oh. Good question. I don't know. What is anything going on here?
Yeah. So right now, it's interesting. Okay. Right now, every weekday has a regular event or a series of irregular events. So that's the challenge is, you know, we could do something small that like met in the living room or something like that, but we'd have a hard time having a regular, like larger meditation event.
And Kakumir, this is Anand. I can say that a couple of years ago, we decided we would try to offer Friday evening Zazen again. And staffing was one challenge there, but we were able to staff it. What we found was that we had one or maybe two attendees on Fridays. We tried that for, I think, 6 months or so, and there wasn't a lot of uptake. And maybe part of that was publicity, but it also seemed, with everything else going on, we didn't get a lot of Sangha interest in that.
Next up. Roberta's back on.
This is a question about service. Previously, if services I've attended elsewhere, there was a longer period for faster walking meditation. Which walking is better to reduce it exhaustion? So basically ask about can it be longer?
So that three rogues is perfect for you. You can do 3 hour kinin then. In terms of during our regular, you know, like Sunday or session and so on, there was a conversation about bringing some of that three rogues, unformed, untimed Zazen into certain periods of regular sessions. We haven't moved forward on that, but that's out there as a possibility.
What we do, I mean, I think different traditions do it differently. Soto Zen basically does 10 minutes slow kinhin. What we have adjusted is that on sesshin, or like zazenkai, one period during the day, one kinhin will do fast kinhin around the ingawa. So that's an option for people. But my guess is that's basically how it will go, except for the more loose, unformed style Zazen that happens for three robes.
Well, just to comment on that, and I also have another question. Where I've most recently sat was at Heart of Wisdom or at Great Vow. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't mean a long time. I just mean a little longer. It seems that after the slow walking for Kinhi, the fast walking is almost just to get back to your own mat versus, you know, 3 minutes of it or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way as I do, whether others feel the same way. So anyway, I'm putting that out there.
I would.
Other questions?
Oh, if I could just kind of anecdote. There are some of the men in the prison.
Ooh, my audio stopped.